When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I have 3 true ghost stories for you. Each one will send a chill up your spine. Our first story, this is The Call. This is the most recent paranormal encounter I personally have had as a paramedic in the Rocky Mountain region. I don't want to disclose what state specifically, but throughout my career, I, 26-year-old male, have had multiple encounters since joining EMS at the age of 18. Now, prior to, I hadn't ever seen anything crazy. I had heard some weird whispers and such in houses. This time, this happened a day before American Thanksgiving. This detail is relevant to the story. It's been a long shift of really standard calls. Fender benders, someone slipped on ice, or someone has frostbite from exposure. Nothing too crazy. My partner, a 25-year-old female, and I get a call over the radio dispatching us to a retirement community, non-emergent, for a welfare check. We load up, we go, and we meet fire and PD outside the residence. Now, to kind of paint a picture of these places, they're more million-dollar condos than what you'd think of as a retirement community, with multiple floors. More on this in a second. We go and make contact with the older woman that is home. We'll call her Susan. Susan opens the door and tells us she thinks her roommate, we'll call her Mary, is very ill. She hasn't come out of her room for about 5 days, not even to use the bathroom or to eat or bathe, but ensures us that Mary is there. Susan's opened her door and seen Mary in bed, and she moves every now and then in between her checking on her. First questions I ask is all the pertinent information regarding health, any signs of declining health or prior issues that lead to her not moving or being unable to move. Bottom line is, other than being older, she should be in great health. So after about 5 minutes of information gathering and getting the info and gear we might need off our ambulance, I decide I'm going to go up there and attempt to make contact with Mary and see if I can get her talking to me. So I make my way up the stairs. It's like 5 stairs, landing, pivot, 5 more stairs, and there's a landing up on top with a banister overlooking where my partner and fire and PD are hanging out with Susan. I remember looking down this hallway, and even though the lights were on, it was still oddly dark and felt cold. And this is when I realized I never actually asked what room was Mary's. So I called down, and Susan yelled up that her room was the last on the right. I ended up having to walk all the way down this hallway past several open and dark doors. And by this time, it was getting uneasy to the point I just wanted to turn back and wait for my partner or one of the fire guys to come up with me. After making it to the door, I knocked and said, "Hey Mary, this is Kay. I'm with EMS. We got called to check on you. Is it okay if I come in?" Now, on welfare checks, this always gets some sort of response, but not this time. There was no response from the other side of the door, but I did hear what sounded like someone get out of bed and walk to what I thought was the middle of the room. This next part happened in the span of seconds, so I try again, but this time I've decided that I'm going in. So I repeat myself, but add that I'm coming in to make sure she's okay. I grab the doorknob, open the door, and I always scan from right to left. And at first I didn't see anything, but I scanned till I got to the middle of the room. And there, I see what appeared to be an older lady-shaped figure standing there. And while there wasn't any defining features, it felt like it was facing me, but it was just a shadow. And as my eyes met it, my fight or flight response kicked in. I slammed the door shut, turned, and took a step to walk away, but I heard the door open behind me, and I took off. For context, I'm about 6'2 and 245 pounds. I full-on sprinted down this hallway. Never heard anything behind me other than that door reopening, but it scared the heck out of me. So I sprinted down the hallway, went up and over the guardrail to the stairs, landed on the landing, lost my footing, and rolled down the remaining stairs. I came to a stop at the feet of everyone having a conversation. Before I could get up, everyone was asking what was wrong with me. I sat up and I'm just about hysterical without actually crying, and I'm explaining what I saw and what happened, and that I'm not going back up there and there is no Mary in that room. In the middle of all this, we hear footsteps going away from the landing upstairs. One of the cops goes up there and says, "This is the police. If someone's up there, you need to come out." He goes upstairs, gets up there, and as soon as he's at the top landing, we all hear the door slam shut, and he comes back down. Him, my partner, and the firefighters all go upstairs, do a full search of the condo, and find no one. Nothing. I finally get it together after sitting with Susan in the living room, and I go upstairs with the others, and the entire atmosphere has changed. It's no longer dark, the open doorways don't seem like empty black holes, and Mary's room isn't the same. It's lively, and not the same room I peered into. All in all, we found nothing and had no patient to take anywhere. While we were clearing the scene and getting our equipment back in the ambulance, this car pulls up. It's got a family of three and a little old lady in it. The little old lady in the car was Mary. Long story short, 5 days prior, Mary's family had come to pick her up for Thanksgiving, and she had left Susan a note that fell off the fridge and under it that she'd be coming back to get her to celebrate with them a day or two before, so she should prepare for that. To this day, I still don't know what I saw in that room, or if I've tricked myself and just placed something there to justify the terror I felt in the moment. All I know for sure is that myself, my partner, the police officer, and a few firefighters all heard the footsteps and heard the door slam. I asked the officer if he saw anything when he was upstairs, and every time he's either said he doesn't want to think about it or denied it happening altogether. Either way, this is again one of the many happenings I've personally encountered in my time in EMS. First responders are trained to be ready for anything, but I bet he wasn't ready for that. And I have a very important question. If Mary was gone that entire time, who did Susan see laying in her bed, moving around? That's terrifying. I hope Susan moved. Actually, I hope they both moved. I hope she said, "Come on, Mary, We're getting out of here because there's something funky going on. What do you think he saw? Do we even want to know the answer? I don't know.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, our second story. This is my daughter's imaginary friend. In 2013, my wife and I divorced, and we both moved into separate homes. The divorce went well, and we're still good friends to this day, partly because we have a daughter together. We agreed to split custody over our daughter, and I rented an old house in a historic district in the city where we live. It was a very pretty home, built in 1935, but kept up very well. I would have my daughter 2 weeks at a time, and she had a bedroom in the back of the house. She was 3 years old at the time, and I kept noticing her talking to a friend. One day, I found her in a little closet, talking to someone, and I remember her saying she was talking to another little girl named Betty. I have no idea where she heard the name Betty, as she was only 3 years old, but I just chalked it up to a child's vivid imagination. Keep in mind, I'm a single dad to a little girl. I really have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to dressing, hair, or just little girl stuff in general. Her mom is good at that stuff, but not me. I put my daughter to bed one night after her bath. I remember brushing her hair that night, but that was all I did. The very next morning, her mom came to pick her up from my house, and my daughter was just waking up. Her mom went back to her bedroom to find my daughter's hair was fixed in 2 perfect French braids. Her mom was really proud of me at first that I had done her hair so cute, but I told her I didn't and couldn't do that. I can't even braid her hair, much less do perfect French braids. We asked our daughter how her hair got fixed, and she told us that Betty had done it during the night. I broke the contract on the rental agreement and moved out within the next month. Look, if I'm living with a ghost that can do amazing hairstyles, I'd stick around. Betty's Beauty Parlor? Count me in. But what about you? Could you have stuck around and lived with Betty doing your hair at night? A little ghostly updo? Let me know in the comments. Now, our third story. This is the trip. I need some help identifying whatever is here with me. I just got back from a week-long vacation last night, and the same activity from the house I was staying in is going on at my apartment. The house we stayed in was gorgeous, and since my entire extended family was staying there, 18 people, it was also absolutely massive. It was split into 2 parts, the old side of the house, roughly just a basement studio and 3 bedrooms upstairs, and the newer side. I'm not going to go into much detail about the newer side as no paranormal activity took place there, but it was a gorgeous house. I shared a room with my girlfriend, and since we were the last to arrive, we got the worst room in the house. Not only did we get the smallest room in the house, it was about 10 feet by 10 feet. It was also on the old side of the house, directly in front of the basement stairs. As I had been driving for 6 hours that day, I was pretty tired, so I said hello to everyone and quickly got into bed to go to sleep. It was around 11 p.m. when my girlfriend and I got into bed. She's lucky in the sense that she can fall asleep just about anywhere in 5 minutes, so she was asleep within seconds. I had a weird, uneasy feeling in my chest. Not necessarily a scary feeling, just that annoying, alert feeling you get when you feel like something is watching you. To help ease myself, I hopped right down into a YouTube rabbit hole. About an hour into my journey, I could tell that my girlfriend was having a nightmare, so I put my hand on her arm to gently wake her up. But as soon as I touched her, she bolted awake screaming, mumbling, "The ghost," and immediately went back to sleep. I had just started to get tired, so safe to say, I was sufficiently creeped out at this point. So, back down the rabbit hole I went. About 2 hours went by when my girlfriend woke up screaming again, saying, The footsteps are close and passed out immediately. I decided I'm not going to sleep that night and went right back to YouTube. Another hour passes and I see my girlfriend sit up in bed, but she was still asleep. She moved so she was sitting on the edge of the bed and started having a conversation with the corner of the room. She eventually laid back down, but not before I was absolutely terrified. Activity died down after the first night, usually just creaks in the floor or knocks on the wall or door. The only other standout event, besides movement around the room, happened on the second to last night when something sat down on the edge of my bed. My first thought was that my cat jumped up on the bed, but I remembered I wasn't at my apartment and sat up just in time to see the indentation lift up off the edge of the bed. It couldn't have been my girlfriend as she was on the opposite side of the bed and nowhere near where the indentation happened. Also, the bed I was staying in was firm as a rock, so it was challenging to push that far down into.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who pieced together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fast forward one more sleepless night, and I'm on my way home. After a long day of driving, I got back and settled down with some Netflix. My girlfriend had plans to go hang out with her friends, so she was out for most of the night. I thought I'd finally get a break from the spooky stuff when my dog and cat both start tracking something around my apartment. The way their heads were moving, whatever they saw was moving fast. Now, I've seen them track bugs before, but neither of them really focus on it too much. They usually just huff and ignore it. But this was different. Poppy, my dog, started growling when whatever it was moved into the corner of the room. My cat, Anna, jumped up right next to me on the couch, while Poppy growled at the corner and started to slowly back up towards me. After a full week of stuff like this, I wasn't even scared anymore, just angry and tired, because it likes to keep me from falling asleep. Poppy and Anna both track the thing moving out of the corner towards us, so she starts barking like crazy. After I got her to stop barking, I heard a growl come from the center of the room. It was pretty high-pitched, like a small dog or a girl. Judging by where my pets were tracking, it looked like it was very short, very fast, and could jump up on the table and counters. I stood up, stared in its general direction, and said, "Please leave." I got a huge wave of chills and got goosebumps in places I didn't know I could get goosebumps. But I said it again, much louder and more stern this time, while opening my front door to let it out. Whatever it was got really upset. It didn't do anything, but I could feel a lot of anger. My pets tracked it moving towards the door, so I thought I was in the clear. About 2 minutes later, my dog starts barking at the corner of the room where the door is, while my cat is on full alert staring at the same place. At this point, I just give up and hope it leaves me alone since it hadn't been violent yet, just annoying. Poppy eventually fell asleep at my feet, and Anna had run into the other room, occasionally poking her head out the door to look in and immediately sprint back into the room. I just gave up on dealing with it at this point. I put my earbuds in to block out the knocks on the walls and watch some YouTube. I decided to stay up until my girlfriend got back to let her know what was happening, but whatever it was, took this as an opportunity to mess with me. I was laying on my couch and kept feeling something poking at me every 5 minutes. Not hard, just constant pokes on my arms and legs and feet. After this went on for a while, it pulled on one of my nostrils. Again, I just ignored it because I learned it gets worse if I engage with it. Whenever something like this would happen, I could feel the apartment get much colder, despite my thermostat saying it was 72 degrees. After hours of knocking, poking, pulling, and the occasional arm brush, my girlfriend finally got back home. The second she got through the door, I could tell whatever it was left, as I had no uneasy feeling. and there were no more weird noises. So I had one of the most restful nights I had had in over a week. I don't know if it's gone for good or if it will come back tonight. Other than the growl and the short but overwhelming sense of anger, it hasn't been violent or disturbing, just really annoying. Update. It's only been a couple hours since I posted this, but activity has been a little higher since. For starters, I'm running a fever out of the blue. My temp was at 98.8 this morning, and it has risen again to 101.3 in only 15 minutes. On top of this, the knocking and rustling noises around the apartment have started up again. I feel absolutely drained. It's even hard to keep my eyes open, despite a good night's rest yesterday. The main point of this post is for advice and help on how to deal with this thing. Thank you for anyone who can help. So, new fear unlocked. I guess you can go on vacation and bring some sort of entity home with you. You hear stories about people staying in haunted hotels and rentals. I've stayed at a couple haunted places myself, but it's reassuring to know, hey, I'm leaving and the ghosts are gonna stay here, but I guess not. I do hope this gentleman got some sort of blessing or cleansing done of his apartment, because that is scary. Really scary. Which story spooked you the most? Let me know in the comments. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Next episode, I've got so much more spookiness coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.